right, today's date is December 23rd, 1995, on a Saturday evening, the day before Christmas Eve. And this is Tyler, our Harry T. Martin story.
All right, well, first of all, I was born at an early age as Harry Tyler Martin, and I was born at home because I wanted to be near my mother at the time. I was born in 1921, August the 5th, and I was born in Oxford, Ohio, which is about 40 miles north of Cincinnati, for those that don't know. It's the home of Miami University and the Cousins family, which is my mother's family. About my early childhood, it's really not that much is any different from anybody else. We lived in Cincinnati. My mother was Zenobia Martin, and let me give you her full name because they had some fairly odd names in those days. My mother was Zenobia Luvinia Cousins, and my father was Harry Moyer Martin. And I ended up being Harry Tyler Martin because Tyler was a family name on my mother's side. And I think it was my grandmother's mother whose last name was Tyler. So I grew up between Oxford and Cincinnati. In fact, my earliest recollections were being in a yard of a house, which I later learned was down on Sycamore Street in Oxford. And it was my grandmother's sister's, older sister's house. And she was sort of like a matriarch of the family, as I understand it. But I remember the geese. She kept big geese in her yard. And I remember that they would chase you if they got mad at you, and they would hiss or honk. And one of my earliest recollections is running from those geese. But down in Cincinnati, we lived on Clark Street, and which is down the West End, known as the ghetto in later years. We didn't know it was a ghetto because everybody we knew lived down there, pretty much. But I don't remember too much about it. I do remember I don't know whether it was Christmas or what, but I got one of those iron banks that now are collector's items. And all the toys in those days were made out of iron, but mostly iron or wood. And I remember that was one of my favorite toys. I don't recall ever putting any money in it, but I liked to see the action. Now my folks tell me that we had a cousin, I guess, I don't know what he was. We always called him Uncle Major, our cousin Major. I've forgotten now what we called him. And I don't know what the connection was with my father's family, but he was connected with my father's family, but I remember that he used to collect trash, and he was bringing his cart around our house, and my grandmother was feeding. At the same time, there was another black entrepreneur in Cincinnati called Horace Sutter. And both of those men went on to be two of the prime entrepreneurs in Cincinnati. Major did a lot of real estate, purchased a lot of real estate, and he started a bank called the Major Savings and Loan. And Suddeth built the only big black hotel in Cincinnati called the Manse. And he also had a savings and loan. But they were closely connected with our family at that time. And I don't really know what Uncle Major's relationship was, but he was my grandmother's brother on my father's side, or whether he was a cousin, because they all came from down in Virginia, down to the real tip, the southern end, right next to North Carolina. And they lived in a little place called Spencer, Virginia, where we used to go every weekend. Not every weekend, but every summer, for summer vacations. I have a lot of recollections about things as a child. They're not really connected, but maybe they'll give some feeling of what the times were like in those days. I remember, for example, when we would go down to Virginia, that it would take us about 3 or 4 days. And my father had an old Essex, and we used to have to travel from the mountains. There were no expressways in those days. And it was pretty dangerous for a black family to be traveling around in the mountains going south. So my father kept a .45 automatic in the glove compartment of the car. And we used to have to sleep on the edge of the mountain because there was no place to board for the night. Unless you happened to know a black family that lived somewhere in the area where you wanted to stop, and they would put you up. So we slept in the car most of the way down. And I remember we had big baskets full of fried chicken and hard-boiled eggs and just about everything you think of that we ate along the way. If we had to go to the bathroom, we had to go to the bathroom on the side of the road. So I certainly remember that. And after we get down to Virginia, my grandmother, my father's mother, lived in a log cabin way down in the woods, and they had about 100-acre farm, I later learned. And I remember there was a big stream that ran down in back of the house. And of course, even then I liked to fish. So I spent a lot of my time down there fishing, and never caught anything. But it was just a thrill of being there. But there are a lot of recollections connected with our summer stays down south. I know my grandmother had a cat, and every day that cat would every morning that cat would bring a half a rabbit and drop it at her kitchen door. And that was her half of the rabbit. The cat would eat the other half. And I remember she ate it just as regular. That was her regular breakfast. Nobody else could have had that rabbit. She didn't keep chickens. She had guineas, which were wild fowl. And you couldn't pen them up because they could fly. And they would fly and roost up in the trees. And in order to get the eggs, you had to find where they were nesting and climb up in the tree and get the eggs. The other thing I remember about down south was picking the sun-ripened tomatoes. She had a big tomato patch. And that was the best eating you ever wanted to have. You just go and pick a tomato off the vine and eat it right there in the sun. Never had tomatoes like that since. The other thing, we used to, our job, the kids' job, they grew tobacco, which was their main crop, their main money crop. And the kids' job was to go around and worm the tobacco plants. And the tobacco worms were big green worms, about that big. And that was our job, to go around and pick those worms off. We had a lot of fun with that. And comparing worms and trying to race worms. And then we would also have to help string the tobacco leaves on the staves that they hung in the barn, the drying barn, where they built fires to cure the tobacco. The other thing, other things I remember, just sort of disconnected, like they had shucking bees. When the corn was ripe, all the neighbors would come and they would load all the corn up in the middle of the yard, in a big yard, and everybody would pitch in and shuck the corn. And the shucks were used to feed the livestock, and the corn was hardened and ground up into cornmeal. But that was a big time when everybody, all the neighbors came and had a lot of fun. One thing that I do remember, that some of the folk songs that we heard about in Cincinnati, that and the folk dances.
Can you sing one?
Hmm?
Can you sing one?
Skip to my Lou, my darling. I can't sing it, I don't have enough breath. Okay. But Skip to my Lou, my darling, I know. And those kids down there were doing the Virginia Reel, just like they did in those movies you saw of the plantations down south where they did the Virginia Reel. Mm-hmm. But those were just native songs and native dances that everybody knew. Little black kids, white kids, everybody. And of course, everybody plays guitar. And I remember to use a spoon or a knife to slide along the strings, and it really makes the guitar wail. It sound good. And some of the beats that they had now are beats that are popular in the music today, in the rock and roll, and in the hip hop, or whatever it is. Well, let's see, what else do I remember? Oh, then sometimes we would stay with my cousin Hardy. Now Hardy, I still don't know what his connection was with my father and my grandma, what their relationships were. And I never did get all my daddy's relationships clear. It seemed like everybody was called cousin or uncle or auntie. But the main names associated with my father were the Scales, Ziegler's, and Martin, and Spencer. So anybody with those names all seemed to be related somehow. But my cousin Hardy had a sawmill, and that was the only, that was a major business down in Spencer, Virginia, which was really just a crossroad. And he also had a little corner store on the, right on the road. And I remember the things that we used to love were those little canned meat. I don't know what it was made of, probably. It's a wonder we didn't all get ptomaine poison. And knee-high pop. And it was our biggest treat to go down to the store, get a can of that canned meat and a bottle of knee-high pop. Now, Hardy had 22 kids. They ran out of names, so they started naming them after cars. And one of them was named Ford Scales, another named Cadillac Scales. And they also had some other names. One was named Aberass Scales, and that was because he used to get whippings with a switch from what they called an aber tree. So they called him Aberass. Let me take a while, right?
Okay.
Well, you asked what age I was when we used to go down in Virginia. I guess we must have started going down there when we were about 6 or 7. And I know Madeline, my sister, always got sick. She always got car sick going down. And then we went down there for, oh, I don't know, for quite a few years. Used to go every year. And then my father started taking jobs during the summer running a camp. So I would go out to his camp. It was a YMCA camp, I think, for the Dayton Y. And I used to go to the camp with him during the summer, which was quite an experience. The thing, only thing I remember about the camping was that I made a bow and arrow, which I had until I was really full grown. I don't know what happened to it. I was really proud of that. And that my best friends at the camp were two little white girls that lived in the farmhouse. And he had pictures of all of that, but I don't know what happened to him. A guy who later was one of my best buddies in Cincinnati, Dr. Bruce Green, went to the camp same time. He was there, but I didn't know him then. Then later on, my father found a farm near Xenia, Ohio, that we could rent a cabin. They had a house on the farm, and we rented that for the summer. And we went down there for several summers. It's called Scott's Farm. And he had a big lake, a man-made lake. And my ambition was to swim the length underwater. And I finally did it. And but we did a lot of fishing. They had a lot of catfish in there. And he had a horse that we could ride. And the Ziegler's pen, who was, I guess, my father's cousin, because we always called him Cousin Penn, and his wife, and his two children, Ralph and Helen, they used to come out to the farm too. And then my other cousin, Wallace Barry from Oxford, and Lenore, they both came out. So it was sort of a gathering place for members of the family during those summers when we were at Scott's Farm. I think the last time I went down to Virginia, I was in, I think I must have been in Miami. And maybe I was still in high school. But I went down, just my father and I went. And I remember that I was just driving. I had just started driving. He had a Dodge then, so he let me drive part of the way on the road. And but times were still rough. You know, white folks still did black folks in. And I remember that we had to stop for a railroad crossing. And I didn't stop soon enough, and I bumped into the guy in front of me. And I remember my daddy was, he was very upset, because here we were, two black folks surrounded with all these hillbillies, these whites in these cars, and we didn't know what happened, so he fired his gun, but fortunately nothing happened. But I was always very careful in my driving, particularly in the South. Then his mother, my grandmother, moved to Cincinnati, and I guess that must have been, I know I was in high school then, because we had moved out to the hill, out to Warner Hills. But the place that we were living down on Sherman Avenue was only a block from the city dump, and it was a couple of blocks from what was then known as Crosley Field, or Redland Field, where the Reds played baseball. And our last dog apparently wandered off to the dump somewhere and never came back. In 1937, there was a big flood in Cincinnati, and the house we lived in was not far from Mill Creek, where all the sewage was dumped for the city. And the Mill Creek backed up, all the sewers backed up, and the water eventually moved up to our second floor. And it was after that that we had to leave. And we went out and lived in the man's hotel for almost a year, I think, which was a great time. But I had a BB gun, and I would sit up in the second floor window and shoot the rats swimming around. Great big old sewer rats. It was an exciting time. But it couldn't do too much damage to our house because the house had a dirt basement. We had no central heat. We had a great fireplace in every room where we burned coal. And that was our heat. And for light, we had no electricity. And for light, we had gas jets that were fixed in the wall. And you have to turn those on at night, and that was what we read by, studied by, that was the only light we had. We did have some kerosene lamps, and we didn't have any indoor plumbing. There was no hot water. And we'd take a bath once a week, because it was such a chore. We'd have to heat the water on the kitchen stove, which burned coal and wood. And then everybody would take turns taking a bath in a tin tub. That was a weekly chore. To go to the toilet, we had chamber pots in the house, and because sometimes it would get cold as heck, and our toilet was out in the backyard. So if you wanted to go to the toilet, you'd have to go out in the backyard. And of course, in cold weather, it would freeze up, and it wouldn't flush. So, in fact, it was so darn cold that you had to really force yourself to go. But anyway, we didn't know we were deprived, you know. Although some people had better houses, but we didn't feel deprived when. Didn't even know there was such a thing as air conditioning and, you know, some of those other things. I remember for our first radio was a crystal set. And we would sit around the crystal set with the earphones. There's only one station that you could get. But that was big time. And we just didn't feel deprived. We had 9 dogs. And our backyard was about, I guess, maybe 3 times as big as this room. And my job, of course, was clean up after. And if you don't think 9 dogs can do a lot of business every day. So a lot of my after school work was cleaning up after those dogs. In those days, hamburger was 5 cents a pound. So my father would feed the dogs hamburger or any other scraps that we could get from the butcher shop. In those days, butcher would give you a bone, a beef bone with enough meat on it to feed a family and just give it away. So those dogs ate well. And their output showed it. And they used to have to put lime on all the spots because the smell was so bad. So there were little patches of lime all over the backyard where I picked up the dog doo-doo. But our best dogs were Hans, Fritz, and Frida.
That's fine. All right, and we're rolling.
Some of the other things in those days down Sherman Avenue where we live, the folks down in Virginia used to send us live chickens and turkeys And any other kind of meat they happen to have, and kind of animals, and they'd ship them up to us, and we'd keep them down in the basement. That also was my job, take care of those damn chickens down in the basement. Fortunately, we had a dirt floor in the basement, so some of the stuff just got absorbed in the dirt. But they were good eating, and I remember we had geese, and we had, I think we even had pig a couple of times. So anyway, that was life in those days down in the West End of Cincinnati. Now, both my mother and father taught. My father was a coach at Stowe School, and my mother worked in several schools, but she worked mainly in Sherman School. And she was a, what they call a fresh air teacher. In those days, a lot of the black kids had malformed bones. Their legs would be bowed, or they'd be knock-kneed. And there was a lot of deformities. And a lot of them contracted tuberculosis. So the theory in those days was, and what those kids needed was plenty of fresh air and milk and graham crackers. So they had these fresh air classes that my mother taught. And they would, all the classes were outside, even in the dead of winter. And they'd have these wool parkas. And she had to wear a wool parka too. And they would conduct their classes on the outside. Well, since that time, of course,